we hear a rather gruesome gospel lesson this morning, one that I hope Jesus does not want us to take literally. It is my fervent hope that he's speaking these things so that we get a message. And so I'm hoping that that is what we get, because I'm not so sure that any of us would be entirely whole if we followed this instruction to the letter. Because as we know from the teaching of St. Paul, all of us fall short of the glory of God. And so none of us would be walking around in this world with one hand, much less two, and certainly no feet. At least I wouldn't. And I would be blind if I kept cutting off and plucking out each time I stumbled because of something that was part of my body. I do earnestly think that Jesus was not speaking literally, but figuratively. And we're going to think about that a little bit today, particularly as we try to understand what it means to enter life eternal. We don't hear very much about sin and about judgment and about hell these days. It seems not to be fashionable to teach and preach about such things, but it is unavoidable today because our lessons are full of such things, except, of course, for Esther. But James sort of hints at it. Mark, in his gospel, is rather clear about it. And so we need to think about it. When I was in seminary, which was a very, very, very long time ago, I had a professor who helped me as I was struggling with this idea of sin and forgiveness, sin and grace, and how the judgment of God works in general, no more than in my life. And he had a very interesting way of explaining it, particularly when we think about the afterlife, because that's what most of us are really thinking of when we worry about whether we are guilty of sin or not. From the time we are small children, we are taught an ethical principle of always act as if every moment was your last, because you never know when it will be. And so we live in fear that somehow we may have committed a sin, and then our next breath disappears, and we're left with that as our legacy. I think it's a bit different than that. This professor of mine described our life here in this world as a journey where we see God off in the distance, and that we strive to keep moving toward that destination. That life eternal with God is our destiny as children of God. But because we live in a fallen and a broken world, and we ourselves are part of that world, we sometimes take a detour. We sometimes make a mistake. And that makes sense to me from this point of view, because in the scriptures, the word for sin that is most often used is hamartia, which is missing the mark, as if we were archers and trying to hit the bullseye. Our arrow does not fly straight and true, but it goes off in another direction. And so it makes wonderful sense that the word for repentance is metanoia, which literally translated means changing direction. And so with those two things in mind, and this image that my prof had, here we are striving to move closer and closer toward the goal, toward the bullseye, as it were. And sometimes we miss the mark and we go astray. We've even heard that language in our religious discourse. We go astray. Our hymns talk about it. Sometimes even our prayer book describes it that way in the beautiful prayers of the Book of Common Prayer. That we are led astray. That sometimes we depart from the narrow and true way where God is our destiny and our destination. And my teacher said this. This is the trick. He said, this is the nub of the whole thing. He said, as you take steps, you see, you don't just go astray in one fell swoop. If you're on a journey, in order to go in the wrong direction, you need to turn, first of all, and then you have to take several steps, many steps, to get further and further away from your intended destiny, from your destination. And so, he said, it is in the pattern and habit of your life that finally, perhaps, if we are called home, as it were, a euphemism for dying from this world as we know it, but we are in the process of going astray, we are almost like moving into warp speed. If you know the Star Wars terminology, moving into warp speed in the direction in which we find ourselves going at that time. So if the pattern of our life is to take a detour and we keep walking down that path, we eventually get further and further away from our destination, further and further away from our destiny. And then when we are called from this world, we are impelled in that same direction and we travel in that direction forever. Of course, the good thing to do is always to have our sights on God, always be walking toward God, always see God as our destination and our destiny. And so when we are called finally from this world, we are impelled, propelled, as it were, right into the heart of God. The problem is, if we're off on a detour and we're propelled out of this life, we know, for example, if a space mission misses its mark, you travel further and further away. It gets darker and darker and colder and colder until there is nothing. I think that's what Jesus is really trying to tell us. That our purpose is to hit the mark. Our purpose is to continue to journey toward God as our destination and our destiny, to make it the pattern and habit of our lives. For if it is so, we will never journey too far off the straight and narrow path. And hopefully, there will always be someone, as the Apostle James tells us in his letter, to bring us back in, to warn us that we're going off the side road, to bring us back into the pattern and habit of journeying only toward God. Jesus tells his disciples, don't keep anyone away. Don't worry about who's in and who's out. Oh, you know, that's been the heritage of the Christian church for a very long time. The minute somebody goes off astray, we want to cut them off. James is telling us that our duty is quite the opposite. It is to reach out and to grab them and bring them back. Even more so is it to go out into the world and to see those who are wandering around without any destiny, without any destination, and share with them what we have found. that our earnest life, our destiny, our destination is the very heart of God itself. And to bring them in, too often in the church, however, we tend to want to exclude those who maybe aren't quite on the mark. The people who don't look like us, the people who don't dress like us, the people who don't pray like us, the people who don't sound like us. They're not of our company. Kind of like John was saying in the first words of today's lesson. But Jesus teaches us that that makes no difference. That anyone who is doing the work of the kingdom of God, they are on this path. They are on this journey regardless of who they sign up with or how they sign up or how they pray or how they live or what they dress like. It makes no difference to God. It makes no difference if they are doing the work of the kingdom. If they are not against us, they are for us, Jesus says. And then he places a great responsibility upon those disciples and through them on us. Do not cause any of those who come to understand the immense love of God and want to follow on my path, do not cause them to stumble. Do not cause them to take a detour. Do not cause them to go in the wrong direction. Because if you do that, no matter how you speak or pray or dress or worship, it is better that you had a millstone around your neck and you were tossed into the middle of the lake. So serious is this responsibility. And so it is that we are called to experience that draw of God. And not to wander too far from the path he has shown to us. Kind of like driving a car. You never quite go in a perfectly straight line. If you did, you'd probably have an accident. So we're constantly making those corrections. That's what we need to do. And never go too far away. Not to make that brokenness, that mistake, the pattern and habit of our life. So that we are constantly drawn back, so that when we are called, we are propelled into the very heart of God. That's what Jesus wants for us, for you, for me. That's what Jesus wants for the entire world. And we few, we are his instruments in that great work. Let us take that responsibility as seriously as Jesus gives it to us. So much so that we cannot cause anyone to stumble, to take the detour, to take a wrong turn. For if we do that, then we are no good to the kingdom. But instead to look for the work of the kingdom wherever we can find it. And join with those people and invite those people to share our life and we theirs. So that together we may proclaim the good news of Jesus to all who will listen. Yes, a gruesome gospel this is. Cutting off hands and feet and gouging out eyes. But Jesus is simply making a point. This is so important that even parts of your body are not as important as this. So let us think for a moment on how important it is to us. And how faithful we are to this grave and important responsibility. And pray that God's grace and wisdom and courage may fill us to abundance. That we will not be found wanting on that day when we are called from this world. That instead of drifting out into the cold, into the dark, we will find ourselves at the very center of the heart of God.